Okay, we're holding Nida, Chav Zayin, Amid Beis, for the bottom of today's Avitav Chav Ches. Just to quickly get our bearings, we had in the Mishnah Machlaikis, the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon. Really, the Rabbanan actually end up being Reb Meir. Reb Shimon versus Reb Meir, whether or not, when you find in a bias, you find an afterbirth, whether or not we say the bias is Tamei Tumah Beis or not. Reb Meir says it is Tamei Tumah Beis, we quote it on the Baisa, and that was the Stam Sheet in the Mishnah. And Reb Shimon in the Mishnah is the same as Reb Shimon in the Baisa, together with Reb Yehuda and Reb Yehuda in the Baisa, who all say that there is no Tumah of the Tumas Mace from the placenta that's found in the, from the afterbirth found in the house. And the question is, we understand the Pshat Meir because there's some sort of dissolved embryo inside this placenta and therefore gives us Tumas Mace. What's the Pshat Shimon that doesn't? So the first explanation we attempted to give was we try to compare it to the special din of the Muli Tavrid Rekev, right, of the corpse dust, that the halacha is, if some foreign matter gets mixed in, it's not going to be tamei. And the reason for that din, we ultimately explained, was because it's a din that we compare the chalasa to the seifa. And just like Mali Tav Rekev is only created when a person's buried in a marble coffin, in a unclothed, there's no foreign objects mixed in, so too if something gets mixed in even later when it's in a dust stage, you don't use the typical klolim of bittel and say the dust is bittel to the corpse dust, and therefore it still has a shear. Rather, you say it makes it impure, so to speak, and ironically enough, it makes it not pure mace dust, and therefore not give off tumah. That's a special din by Mali Tav Rekev. But the problem with that is, okay, so that's a unique din for Mali Tav Rekev. It's a din specifically by decomposed corpse. It's not a din for this embryo, this uber that was dissolved. So Vaita, what's the pshat? And just to your point, Yehuda, you brought up yesterday, just confirmed that the bones eventually will perhaps decompose. But it's taka separate from this din because it decomposes in a much, much longer period of time, if at all, than the corpse does. So the corpse dust is a separate din.
Conditions, they don't decompose.
Right. So
they've found bones that have been...
Right. That are, well, they say millions, but yeah.
Actually,
they found bones that have been...
Seen bones that they think from the bias region.
Really? Right. So the point is, so to this point, yes, he was bothered that... So they have bones there anyway. Bones on top of mace. The answer is you're right. But it's a separate din. It's the corpse that decomposed, the actual blood and flesh and all the other stuff, that would not have a din of tumah unless you have a ladle full of that. But the bone and the chami would still be tummy etzem kesayver, the size of a barley corn, if you touch it, is enough to make tumah. Okay, side point. So Belimar explained, so what's the pshat of Shimon that says yitar, that the placenta is tar? Because you have bittel. We say that the amount of uber, dissolved uber, sounds a little grody to say that, but the amount of dissolved embryo in this placenta is butl from the more other liquids, blood, mucus, whatever else is in the amniotic sac, is mevatl the amount of uber. So it worked to the power of bittul. That was Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, and we just left off with the chiddush at the end of the day yesterday, that the chiddush is that you would say that there's no tumas, just like there's no tumah of mace, maybe there should be no tumas leda either. And the Kamash was that no, there is still tumas leida. Why? Because at the end of the day, it is an embryo, even though it's dissolved, it's not good enough to give its batel legabe tumah, but it's still something legabe tumas leida. Even liquefied uber is considered enough. Kisazria is going to be learned from the drasha, just like zera is liquefied, so too is liquid, so too this uber would give off tumas leida. You did an issue with that you felt it was consistent. Okay. Now the Gemara goes weiter, but there's a machlekes Rishonim how to learn this next line. Reish Lakish Amar. So typically when we say the words Reish Lakish Amar, as opposed to Amar Reish Lakish, it's a continuation. Reish Lakish Amar is a continuation. It's another opinion on this discussion. That's Taka Hel. Tesis learns, and that's what Aruch Lener brings this right from the Lashon of Reish Lakish Amar, that Reish Lakish is bringing another pshat in this conversation. He's not just saying Stamanu Din. It's an explanation for why Reb Shimon would say that the afterbirth is tar. Shvir Shetarfu Meimav Nase Kemeshin is Balbalab Tzurasai. The reason is because a shvir, the embryo that was shaken so much in its liquids that now is indiscernible, it's like a mace. It's like a mace whose shape is no longer nicker. The shape is totally messed up. Where the halacha is, that such a mace is tar. So you're teaching really new halacha. A mace whose shape is messed up is tar. And therefore, by extension, our case of shvir, our case of embryo in this placenta that we discussed, why Reb Shimon is being matar, that's why he's being matar. It's the exact same, it's one and the same with this din. Amar Reb Shlakish, Reb Shlakish takes issue with this, and he says to Reb Shlakish, mace shen esabal tzurasa menon tar. Where do you know this din from? Who told you that a mace that's missing its tzura is tar, the main ikur din, which you're then applying to the uber? Who told you this din? Inim hadad Amar Reb Shapsay, Amar Yitzchak Megidla. If it's from the member that either of Shapsai said the name of Yitzchak Megidla or vice versa, Rav Yitzchak Megidla said the name of Shapsai, if it's his member, what's the member? Mace, Shenisra, Vishilda Kamas. Does he have a mace that was burnt, literally cremated? Vishilda Kamas. But his form, his shape is still kayim, is still intact. How on earth is that possible? The Marzani have two examples how it's possible. Either it was burnt within a form, or it was burnt like on a marble table where the ashes are just Gemara's going to actually three explanations. So where there's nothing's gonna move away because nothing happens to the marble and the body just is burnt ash, but in its exact spot it could stay the same way. Or the third option is going to be it wasn't fully burnt; it just was singed. Just the outside was burnt, not the body itself. Okay, but meis shenis v'shtil dekemes tame is tame. So it says over there that it's tame. Meisahaya, and there's like an incident where the meis is found in a house. V'timulei psachim gedelim, the chachamim were tame the big doors. Top of Chafas Amralov, v'tzirul epsach katanim, but they matar the small doors. What on earth does that mean? It's an important side detail. It's a very negiah to Hilchas Eilus. Halacha is that let's say you have a mace in a house. We know there's Tumas Eil and the house is Tamei. We'll start with the room. The room is Tamei. If the room is completely sealed, only that room is Tamei. The rest of the rooms are not going to be Tamei, right? If it's sealed, then it won't be Tamei. If there's a window that opens up one amma by one amma, then Tuma goes through the window and Tuma will travel Tumas mace into the other room. What if there is no window, but there's doorways? There's doorways. So the tumma will travel throughout the house. If there's openings, tumma will travel throughout the house, let's say through those doorways. But we're really talking over here about something further. We're talking about the doorways that completely exit the house. Now, you have doorways that completely exit the house. Often they had overhang from the house when outside the doorways, the house continued with a roof. You don't just walk out to the outside. There's a roof that continues outside the doorway. So the tumma can go further to that space. So me'ikar adim midin tera, it would not. Midin Torah, the mace is confined to whichever oil it's in. If it's in a room, it's sealed, it'll stay in the room. If it's not sealed, it'll travel throughout the rest of the house. But it won't travel to the doorway outside the house. The mace, Tumas mace, will not travel there as well. However, there are Banu Mogezer that since the mace is destined to leave one of these doorways, it has to, the mace is going to be leaving one of these doorways, so any doorway that's fit for the mace to leave, Midr Abanam is Tamei. What's that shear? It has to be 4 tvachim wide by 4 tvachim high. It's got to be 4 square tvachim in order to get a mace out, on a mita, so it's got to be 4 square tvachim. So any doorway is 4 square tvachim, even though he's only going out through one door, any door is 4 square tvachim, Midr Abanam will say it's Tamei, and the Tumah goes even to the space outside that doorway, that little area outside the door will also be Tamei as well. If it's a smaller Pesach, if the Pesach is not 4 tvachim, then that door doesn't have a gzeirah of tumah. If somehow you end up choosing to go out that way, by the way, you theoretically don't have to go to any of the doorways. You could break a wall. Thank you. You could break a wall and go out through the wall theoretically. But until you do that, a doorway that's fit to go out, any one of the doorways is tumah. Any smaller doorways where it wasn't fit to go out would not have the tumah because the whole tumah is drabbanon only ala asa that it may go out, and therefore, so long as it's small, we're not assuming you can go out that way, and therefore those doorways would not have tumah. If, by the way, separate point, if he designates one specific door to be the exit, he says, we're going to take the mason out of this house through that door, then all the other doors become tar. Because he clearly, the only reason why it's tummy is because you may take it to any one of these doors, so every one of the doors could become tummy.
Something that was in the doorway, which was tummy,
right?
Should just become tar?
Oh, no. So I don't think it was, I think it means lechatchila. He has to designate it before. I don't think the Rabbanim would work. Now, once the mace is already there and it was undefined and all the doorways were tameh, we're going to say now, oh, no, now it's not.
There's something in the door.
Right. Once it's rabbinically
tameh. So
I would assume once it's rabbinically tameh, yeah. Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah. Okay. So the point is, getting back to our sugya, so the point of it is like this. So you had this mace that Nebuch was cremated, and the member says very clearly, Shulda Kemes. It was cremated, but the tzura is fully intact. And there's such a story, and they went to the Psachim, the big doors, okay, the big exits, because that's where the mace can leave, not the small ones. What do you see? Rabbi Eichanan is saying this really rhetorically, because he's about to ask a question on it, but he's saying for Rabbi Shlakish, this must be your source, that when the mace is intact, the shape is intact, it gives off tumah. Why? Because you stressed the fact that it was shulder canvas. Had it not been shulder canvas in the Brisa, if it wasn't shulder canvas, if it wasn't intact, the tour of the mace, then it wouldn't give off tumah. It's a riot, it's your idea, that must be your source. Says Rabbi Eichanan, I got a problem with that. For Kadaikas, you medaik time with the shulder canvas. You medaik, the reason why it gives off tumah is because the shape is intact. Halav hachi tarah, but if it wouldn't be intact, tarah, it would be tar. Ad Rabba says Rabbi Eichanan, say opposite. Dik min al hagisa, make it dik the opposite way. Shulda kemes hu detir lepsachim ktanim. Say the other way. When the shulder is kayam, when the shulder is intact, that's when the small entrance is atar. You know why? Because since the mace is still intact, to the extent even those ashes, since the shape is intact, the assumption is you're going to take out the mace intact, and the intact mace can only be taken out through a larger door. But once the shulda wouldn't be kayim, not that none of the doors would be tamei. On the contrary, says Rabbi Eichanan, I'll tell you, all the doors would be tamei. Why? Because once the mace isn't kayim anyway, you're not taking out the mace in one big shot. You may take it out piecemeal. You may take out a kazayas or an aver of the mace ash at once. And since it's fit, any entrance is fit by tefach for any small entrance is fit for some of the corpse ash to come out. It'll give tumah to any entrance. So Rabbi Eichanan says, I'll tell you the exact opposite interpretation of the brayse of the member. It's not a brayse. We'll come back to that in a second. Key point. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you the deek is not that if it wouldn't be attacked, everything's tar. On the contrary, only because it's intact are only the big entranceways tame and the small ones are tar, because you're not going to take out this intact mace through a small entranceway. But if it would not be intact, even the small psachim would be tame as well. Because every doorway is suitable to remove one aver at a time, theoretically. So Rabbi Yechon doesn't like Rish Lakish's source. Amalei Ravina Liravashi. Rabbi Yechon Damakaman. Who's Rabbi Yechon going to like? So before we even go further, just a very key point. It's even more relevant once we read the next Gemara. But Rabbi Yechon was questioning Rish Lakish, what's your source? Minalan. Typically when the Gemara is a good call for Shas, when the Gemara uses Lashon Minalan, what does that mean? What type of source is the Gemara looking for? A pasuk, very good. A Torah, exactly. The Gemara is looking for a pasuk in the Torah. Menalan means a pasuk in the Torah. There are occasions that's common that instead of a pasuk, it brings a brisa or a mishnah, namely Tanayim. Over here, Rabbi Yechon says menalan, and he jumped. Not only there's no pasuk, not only no mishnah or brisa, he jumped to Rish Lakish's source from a memra of Amoraim, Rav Yitzchak ben Gidla, in the name of Shapsu, or vice versa, whichever way it was. The Gemara brought two options, are both Amoraim. He brought a memra from Amoraim with the menalan, which is interesting, but not as interesting. Till we read the next lines. Who's Rabbi Yechon Shita? He's saying that I don't care about Shilda Kayim, even if the tzur of the mace is not Kayim, still goes off Tumma. Who is he going like? Kribliyazer. He goes to Kribliyazer. The time we learned in the Mishnah, Afer Srufim, ash of a burnt person, of a corpse. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Shiura Bereva. The shear for it to give off Tumma is Reva. Quarter a kav of ash from a cremated mace gives off Tumma. So that's Rabbi Elazar's Shita. So Rabbi Yechon is arguing with Rish Lakish, and we're bringing out Tana to back up his Shita. What's extremely interesting is that if you look at that Mishnah, there's a Mishnah, Eilus Perik Beis, Mishnah Beis. If you look at the Mishnah in its entirety, you know what the Mishnah says over there? That the Rabbanan argue. And the Rabbanan say, a quarter of ash is not enough. You actually need, a quarter of a kav is not enough. You need the Chamold, you need the entire mace to be Tame. So, we have a few problems. First of all, Rabbi Yechon is chapping on Rabbi Elazar instead of the Rabbanan. And he's using it as kasha on Rish Lakish, when Rish Lakish has the Rabbanan seemingly backing him up. But also, when we went to the Menalan, we pointed out that the Menalan he brought was from Amiram. Here you have a Mishnah. We're conveniently quoting the part of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yechon is agreeing with, which is Rabbi Elazar, but the Rabbanan would seemingly go like Rish Lakish. It's a bomb kasha. Taisus has it on Chavsayin of Beis. Other Rishonim ask it. One of the simple answers that are given is that Rabbi Yechon interpreted the Machlekes, the Mishnah Eilus, that the Rabbanan also agree you don't need the mace to be intact. Maybe you need all the ashes. But like the Havdah, like they do by the Gaim, you can have all the ashes in an urn. They're not intact. The tzura is not intact. You just have all the ashes. That was the machlekes Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Elazar, and the Rabbanan, whether you need all the ashes or a reif a kav of ashes, a quarter kav is enough for tumma. But not that you need it to be shildei kayim. So Rabbi Yechon held the whole Mishnah, both shitas, even from, and they want to say actually, that's why we're saying he's like Rabbi Elazar. From Rabbi Elazar, we see how vite it goes, and therefore we can see, even the Rabbanan that argue, don't need it to be physically intact. And the shape-wise, it just needs to be all the ashes. But no one needs that. That was where Rabbi Yechon was coming from. And therefore, the taka is no Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yechon's interpretation at least, there's no Mishnah like, and certainly no Pasuk, like Rish Lakish. Okay. What's the case? We have a mace that was burnt, and we asked before, and the shape is intact. Three options. It was burnt on top of like a hard, in a hard leather block. So the way I understood this was, I mean, the way they explain this is that it's a, it's, Rashi says it's like a hard leather that doesn't get burnt with the mace. But the way the Mefarsh explained is even more than that. It actually is a form. It's like a form, like the hands and feet and the body go into like a form, almost like a coffin, like a form fitting, and therefore the ashes stay in the right shape even. Rav Amar, Kunchev Sarfrei Agabe Apadayim, Rav says it was burnt, the mace, on top of a marble slab. Similar idea. There's, again, in both these cases, there has to be some sort of mold there, a little bit, otherwise the ashes are just gonna fall down, but the point is we're finding different things that will not burn with the mace, and therefore the mace ashes, as long as there's some sort of mold, will remain intact. Ravina Amarka in Dachruchi, so Rav's case was marble. Ravina Amarka in Dachruchi, we spoke that before, it was talking about where it was singed, it was charred, but wasn't fully burnt. So the outside was maybe burnt like ash, but the inside, the mace wasn't fully burnt, and therefore will stay in proper form. Tanaban. Back to, so that was the end of the sugya of the amniotic sac that was found in the house with the dissolved Uber inside. Rameir says Tame. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi all say Tar. One point that we didn't point out was, I mean, we referenced it. We read this whole Gemara with the understanding that Rish Lakish is giving a third pshat. First pshat was shloved up. Remember that there's some other stuff mixed in. Second pshat was Bittel. That was Rabbi Yehuda's pshat. Why it should be Tar. And the third pshat was Tar is because it doesn't have the right surah. It's lost the surah. This embryo lost the surah of a human, and therefore it won't become Tame. We explain Rish Lakish as an explanation in that machlekes. However, others learn. Not like Taisus, others learn that Rish Lakish is taka a new din, a completely new din. And one of the reasons is because if Rish Lakish is not a new din, then it comes out this din of Rish Lakish, which Rabbi Yochanan seems to be questioning, is really a machlokes in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and Rav Shimon, which is also not so gishmak. Rav Meir and Rav Shimon were arguing whether or not the Uber is Shildai Kayim. So some of the Aruch Lanataka speaks out that according to the simple reading of the way he likes to read the Gemara, that Rav Shlakish is saying another pshat in Rav Shimon, Rav Meir would be disagreeing with this halacha that has to be Shildai Kayim. Rav Meir would fit like Rav Yochanan on the Amira. Rav Meir would be disagreeing because that's why Rav Meir would say that it's Tame. He says it's Tame because he says you don't need it to be Shildai Kayim. Another Malach the Mepharshim want to speak out is that perhaps even if you only need Shildai Kayim, maybe the Uber somehow, even before it liquefied, it came out from the woman's body in the house, and there was enough intact to give off tuma, as opposed to the case of mace of ash, which is fully already lost the tzura. Meaning, the case of Uber somehow is a little bit better. Not really sure fully how, but somehow better than the case that Rish Lakish is bringing. By the way, the point is, if you learn the way we're learning, then it is a little bit of shver that the machlekes of Shimon or Meir becomes the machlekes of Rish Lakish or Bechron. That's the shver way to learn it. Why someone, and therefore someone would rather learn Rish Lakish is a complete new memra than a mace that gets lost at Surah, doesn't give off tumma, unrelated to our discussion of Uber. That's the other way to learn this Gemara. Okay. Amar Tanraban. Hamapelis yad chatucha v'reya chatucha. If a woman aborts from her body a hand that's detached or a foot that's detached, so imay tmei leida, the mother who ejects this from her body is tamei tmei leida because there was a vlad. And we're not concerned. We know there's a possibility that the body didn't fully form. We spoke earlier, unformed body of an Uber does not make the mother tumas leida. But we don't assume that. We'd rather assume that the body fully existed. If it's a hand or a foot, that means it fully existed. And I didn't come out now, either still in her, or it came out at different points and she didn't realize it. It came out at different points in pieces, and she didn't realize it. Okay, so therefore she's tummy. Sorry? Why? You're saying the lady's not finished yet?
No,
the hand or the foot came out.
That's not that bad. So just the hand is enough to make her tummy?
Well, unfortunately, we're talking about a hand or a foot that are not attached to any other body part. They're,
I understand, but it's not that they're obviously detached. From I assume the else. Assumption is that we're assuming it already came out.
That's the point.
Not that the possibility that it's still in there.
It's okay, yeah, more likely. Let's go by there. But more correct.
From the limb that it was detached from something. That's fine. If it's a whole limb and
which is why we're assuming it's not from a gufei atam.
That's right.
Yeah. Says the Gemara, "Ein chayshim shem a gufei atam," and therefore she has the tumas later. Rav Chizkiya Rabbi Avuna Dami Tarvayo, "Ein nicely yimei tayar." So Rav Chizkiya Rabbi Avuna pointed out that we do not give her yimei tayar. We don't give her tar days. The tar days that come, whether it's a zachar, so you give her 33 days, or an akeva for sure not. You don't know if it was an akeva to give her 66 days. But you don't give her any meitar. My time, emer chik leidasa, because we say, you know what happened? She already ejected. You'd be appreciate this, Yuda. She already ejected the rest a while ago already. So she's already. And that was the Leda. She's already into her count now, so therefore you can't give her a fresh count now, even if you go with a more lenient number, which is Zachar. 33 days, you can't, because maybe she's already halfway through her 33 days, because she had already had ejected from her body the other part much earlier. Masrav Yosef, so Yosef asks, what do you mean? Hamapel's v'ani doa ma'pila. There's a mission coming up in tomorrow's daf. If a woman has a miss, and she doesn't know what came out of her teisha of zachar nekeva, she has to keep the chumras of both zachar and nekeva, right? Visa kedaitach. We're actually having something similar in our mishnah. Yeah, but this mission is from tomorrow. Teisha of zachar nekeva. Visa kedaitach kol kagamna ema herchik leidasa listening ulanida. So he has a bomb kasha. You're telling me that when she ejects something from her body, it's not clear what it is. So she has to keep the dina tuma of zachar nekeva, which you've explained many times. What does that mean? The chumras of both, which means not just 7 days of tuma, rather 14 like a nekeva. But she doesn't get 66 days; she only gets 33, which will end up only being 26 because 7 of those were just used exactly for the nekeva. So her deadline ends at 40 days, but 14 of the 40 days are tuma, so she gets 26 days. That's the chumras. But he says, but one second. But if you're concerned that maybe it came out earlier, like we're saying in our in this psak from this brisa that we just quoted by the yad or the leg, why aren't we concerned here? It came out earlier, and maybe she's already in her, she's already out of her tara days. So the lashon that should be used is listening lanida. It should say she should have the chumrah of being concerned of zachar and akeva, 7 tamid days for zachar, 14 for akeva, and she should be concerned about nida as well, because nida essentially means that you made tara are over. Amar Abaye, itan lanida av mina mevia karbin in echel. If you tell me lanida, Abaye says, essentially Abaye's answering is you're right. You're right. When we don't know what came out of our body, and if we don't know what may have came out earlier, we do have to be concerned that the birth part of it took place earlier. But we don't want to say in the mission, Lashon Lanida, you know why? Because by saying you have to be concerned for Nida, sounds like we have to be concerned that maybe she didn't have a Leida Bechlal. Maybe she's just Stamanida. She never had. If the mission would have written such a Lashon, maybe she's Stamanida, not a Leida. And if that's the case, she wouldn't be Chayva Karbon. Nida's not Chayva Karbon. Only a Leida's Chayva Karbon. And what's going to happen? Mevia Karbon and Nechel. People are going to think that you bring the Karbon, you don't need it. Kamash with the Nechel. By leaving out the word Nida, so we understand that this is for sure a Leida. She for sure has to bring a carbon, and the carbon is for sure eaten. That's not changing. That's for sure all true. And the only shaila is, she has to be concerned about Nida as well, but we don't want to speak of those words because it could lead to a misunderstanding of the Mishnah. I'm Rav Huna.
The lashon of Keshi was Zachar of the Keva. I think that lashon is used numerous times, and that lashon is used as the way of explaining the Chumrah.
Correct, but this maybe it's just a chumrah, meaning maybe there wasn't a Leida Bechlal.
Again, is this language not always used to explain to me she has to keep the chumrah of the Bekeva for Tumah, but she also keeps at least some days of Tahara? Does it not typically mean that?
No. Love that. Usually it does. Usually it means the 26 days.
That's right.
Usually means 26 days, correct. You're saying it comes out according to this, that Teisha Vazach and Bekeva would only mean the... Right. Well, if I can elaborate on your question, and this was bothering me actually just a few moments ago, I didn't speak it out, but now that you brought it up, it was bothering me that the nusach is going to be a little shver, because when you do keep, to your point, when you do keep a mix of zachar and akeva, so it's 14 days of tumah like an akeva, and then 26 days, which is the tara of a zachar. So that's the nusach, teish of a zachar and akeva makes sense. If you're only keeping mei tumah, bechlal, you're not keeping any mei tara, because we're scared that maybe the birth took place earlier, and maybe your mei tara already used up. Exactly. It's just say, keep the Meitimah of a Kever, period. Teisha of Zachnev, that's right, that's what you're asking, right? Yeah, that was bothering me too. That was bothering, yeah. I think that is a better way to ask the question, but I don't have an answer, that's why I didn't bring it up. Okay, I'm Rav Huna, but it's a good question. I'm Rav Huna. Haitzi Uber Yadav Echzira. If Uber sticks out its hand and pulls it back in, Imaitimei Leida, Bechidish. Even though normally we say the birth is with the head, if the Uber sticks out his hand and pulls it back in, Mother Tumah is Leida. Why? Brings a source from a pasuk in Chumash in Sefer Bereishis. Shenemar, this is weir by the twins that came from Tamar. Vehi belita vehi yad. She was giving birth and one stuck out his hand. So the pasuk used the lashon of lidita and sticking out a hand. Masav Yehuda, haitz yibras yade ein ima yocheshesh l'chol davar. So Yehuda asked that we have a brace that says if an Uber sticks out his hand, the mother does not have to be chayshish for anything. No tumah begins. You have to worry about it. So how does that stem with this memra from Rav Huna? Amr Nachman, the Dim Farshi, the Menin Rav Huna. I'll explain to Rav Huna's memra. Lachash chayshashes. You may tell Levin la adonaf agruba. You're right. We're not going to say it's a leida and give her you may tayra. We just mean chayshish. We're chayshish for the leida. Once the arm goes out, we're able to be chayshish and say that it's tummy tumas leida lechumra. But avada, you're not going to have a meitara. The Gemara has a slew of problems with this. First of all, Rav Huna's words were, imay tmeya leida. Specifically tmeya leida. So you say, okay, doesn't mean mamish tmeya leida, you're cheshish tmeya leida. But what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said exactly opposite. Haitzi yibris yada, ein imay cheshish is chodavar. Don't be cheshish for anything. You explain your Huna meant, not that you're mamish tmeya, you're just cheshish. The Braisa specifically said, don't even be chayshish. In fact, the Braisa specifically said, don't even be chayshish. What the Braisa meant to say is, on a biblical level, you don't have to worry about Tumah. But you're right, Rav Huna was saying, on a rabbinic level, you can still worry about Tumah. And even that, you're not giving you Tara, you made Tara. Just on a rabbinic level, we're saying you have to worry about Tumah. In fact, the Bam Kasha, Rav Huna brought a Pasuk. If he brought a Pasuk, wouldn't it mean he's saying even the Raisa? Fakrak Amar Din Rav Huna being a pasuk. How can you tell me Rav Huna is going midrabanan? Says the Gemara, the famous answer, all of Vashas, midrabanan kras vachta balma. If you bring a pasuk and this is only midrabanan, we often will answer that in a chami the din remains midrabanan. Rav Huna's din was rabbinic, and he brought a pasuk as a smachta. It wasn't a clear right anyway. It was just a remez, and therefore again, Rav Huna was simply saying that if he sticks a hand out, you have to be chayshish. On what level? Rabbinic level for Tumah. No Yimei Tara, no Biblical Tumah. On a rabbinic level, you chayshish for Tumah. That's all Rav Huna's member was. And the Braisa says, you don't have to be chayshish, that means on a Daraisa level. Zuck the Mishnah. Hamapel a tumtum andragonus, if a woman jacks for her body, a tumtum or an andragonus. Both of these are species unknown. gender unknown, I should say. Teisha v'zachu nekeva, she has to keep a tumah v'mitara for a zachu v'nekeva. Even though by a tumtum we say it's just covered over, but one of the genders is one or the other. The idea is you're not going to cut it open just for that purpose. Not fear it over. At some point you may want to, literally the original gender deciding surgery just to figure out what he is or she is. Yeah, so the Mishnah Choreina explains, to your point, Jibji, that the Mishnah used Lashon of Apelles here just to fit symmetry with the Mishnah in the Perek. But this Halacha, this Mishnah, has not Lashon of Apelles. Because the idea really is Lashon of Apelles. The woman ejective gave birth to a Tumta Androgynous. We don't know if it's a Zachor and a Keva, and therefore, Teshev, Lezachor and a Keva, she has to keep Yemei Tumah V'Tahara for both Zachor and a Keva. You're right. Theoretically, if it would be a Nafel, I can't imagine there'd be any issue of doing whatever it takes to determine the gender. Tumtum Zachar. What if she gave birth to a Tumtum and a Zachar together, twins? One's a Tumter and one's a Zachar. Or Androgynous Zachar. An Androgynous and a Zachar. In both cases, still, Teisha Zachar and a Keva, because we have to suspect that maybe the Tumtum / Androgynous in these twins are an Akeva, and therefore she has to keep, like the Chumras, of both Zachar and a Keva. Tumtum and a Keva. What if the woman gave birth to twins, a Tumtum and a Keva, or Androgynous and a Keva? So that's simple. Teisha and a Keva Vad. Because everything about a Keva encompasses a Zachar. Right? In the last case, I don't know if there's an Akeva there. I have a Vadik Zachar, but I may also, my Tumtum or my Androgynous there may be an Akeva, may not be an Akeva. So I gotta take the Chumras of both. Over here, if it's a Tumtum and an Akeva, or an Androgynous and an Akeva, I for sure have an Akeva here. And once I for sure have an Akeva, I for sure have 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tara. Irrespective, it doesn't make a difference if the other one was a Zachar. The Zachar's days ending don't stop my Yimei Tara for the Akeva. Therefore, you just keep him in a keva. That's that ish has no issues. Yatzim Chutuch, if Nebuch comes out dismembered, the Uber, I'm a Suris, or comes out breached. Now, interesting, breach literally just means feet first. Mishyatzim Rubai, Hare Yalad. So, breach case, it's going to be a fully live, healthy baby. But in both these cases, when's it considered born? Once Revivit comes out. That's when it comes out, either in pieces or when it comes out feet first. Yatzim Gadarka, if it comes out the normal way, which is head first. So Achietzim Rev Reishai, it's considered born when most of the head comes out of the womb. Vezir Rev Reishai, what's considered Rev Reishai? Mishatz Padachtai. Rev Reishai, Rev the head, is once the forehead is out. Once the forehead is out, it's considered Rev Reishai, and that's already considered, that is considered a Leda. We'll see more about this later on in the next daf. Hashta tumtum l'chudei v'andregis l'chudei amar teishu zachon akeva, says more a basic question. You told me that if an isha gives birth to a tumtum or an androgynous, the mother has to keep the chumras of zachon akeva. So tumtum zachar, androgynous zachar, mabaye. What is the Mishnah adding by saying tumtum with the zachar, androgynous with the zachar? And tumtum alone makes me have to keep the chumras of both and the androgynous. So why would a tumtum with the zachar, androgynous zachar be different? What's the chiddush? Mer resorts to a svara that we had a couple of days ago. Itzchak Mar says, "Ma'atei Ma'avam Rabbi Yitzchak, Ishim Ezra Aschili Yad Zachar, Ishim Ezra Aschili Yad Nekeva." We have a klal that if the man is Mazriya first, then the child that comes out will be a female. If the woman's Mazriya first, then the child that comes out will be a male. And we always make a point to mention when it says Mazriya by Nisha, it's simply, Pasha doesn't mean Mazriya. Ovulate exactly. By Isha, this doesn't really have a Zera. Or no, there is discussion that maybe there's something that would be referred to as Zera by Nisha. The Gavi Ashkos is Zera. The Gemara says it's Noash Chazera by Nisha. What does it mean? It begins off Mina. If Isha has Epizera, so when we say it's Noash Chazera by Isha, it can mean her Zera. But maybe she is Mechuevan, his Zera. Or if you say it's Noash Chazera, it means she's not Mechuevan, his Noash Chazera. That's a discussion in the Infershim back in that Sugya. Fine, not really from here. So therefore, since we say that when the man's first, it's a female, woman's first, it's a male, so since the one that's born with the androgynous or with the tumtum, since the one's born with this is a zachar, so this one also should be a zachar. One's a zachar, the other one should be a zachar too. And we point out the other day that even though we gave a svara, even though this is Maisim Chayim, Rebecca Kamnetsky asked a question, that Maisim Chayim, that we see there's a boy and a girl born as twins. According to this logic, you should always only have either two boys, two girls. So what's that? Mars Havamina. So we pointed out, even though we're saying this cloud, maybe, we suggested a maybe, if you look at the math, the statistics are that 66% of twins are the same gender. 66% of twins are either both girls or both boys. Right? Actually, our small sample size that I can think of for our community is even more, I think even higher, actually. But okay, so, Eman Dai Zachar, Hainam Zachar, Kamash Milan. So therefore, the Chiddush is, Eman Shneim is Yuv Vazachas, Zachar Vazanakevas. I would have thought that you could determine that the Tumtum and the Androgynous are both Zacharim, and therefore she only keeps Yimei Tumah Vitar like a Zachar if it came together with a Zachar. Kamash, but we say no, that the man and woman both were Mazriya at the same moment, and therefore one could be Zach, one could be Keva, and therefore she has to keep the Chumras of both. That's the Chiddush, the second line of the Mishnah. Amar Nachman Rav, Tumtum Androgynous Shiro, Leifin Aydim. So a very, very straightforward Interesting halacha. We know a tumtum on dragoness, we don't know if they're male or female. If a woman experiences a red discharge, dam, she's tummy tumas nida. If a man experiences a white discharge, he's tummy tumas ziva, zav, right? So this tumtum on dragoness had a white or red discharge. Halacha is in chayv l'beis mikdash. If they go in the beis mikdash, they're not chayv because if it's a man with a red discharge, he's not tummy. A woman with a white discharge, not tummy. We don't know where they are. We can't be mechayv l'beis mikdash. We don't know if they're really tummy. Furthermore, vein sefer lemes truma. If they touch truma, they're not really vade truma. They're suffik truma, and therefore we can't burn truma. We make it's maybe suffik truma, but you can't burn truma that they touched on their account. You have to let it just get spoiled. Rolev invitem kecha. But what if they experience this one person, this tumtum andragonus, experience both white and red discharges, ain't chayv l'beis mikdash. There's still not chayv l'beis mikdash. You'll ask why in a minute. I will serve in aleim esa chuma. You could burn chuma because they're for sure tamei. Man of shechet tamei. Either tamei tamez nida or ziva or tamei tamez zav as a man. For sure tamei, and therefore you burn chuma, but you will not be chayv l'beis mikdash. Why not? Shenamer, here's the why for beis mikdash. Shenamer mizachar ad nekeva tishalchu. We're talking about Tav Rashi sending out for the Mikdash, Rashi says. Zachar Vadi Nekeva Vadayas. Tavka Zachar Vadi Nekeva Vadayas get sent out. If it's a Suffolk, they don't get sent out from the Mikdash. V'lei Tumtum V'lei Dragonus. Tumtum Dragonus are excluded from this din. So since they're excluded from this, since it says Zachar Nekeva, so therefore we learn that it's got to be Vadi Zachar Vadi Nekeva, and if they go in with Mikdash Tumma, they won't have this, they won't be Chayev. Okay. A special dispensation. Lei Mesei, let's bring a Raya from this Brisa to Rav. Tumtum andragonus or aleiv and item tumtum or an andragonus that saw either white or red ain't chayv l'beis mikdash not chayv l'beis mikdash vein sefer lemes truma, you don't burn truma on the account of them touching it. Roleiv and vaden gachas both, they saw both, the person saw both white and red at the same time, meaning before becoming tar from one saw the other one, so they manuf shachat tamei, male or female they're tamei ain't chayv l'beis mikdash, is still not chayv l'beis mikdash av sefer lemes truma, but you burn truma on account of them touching it because they are for sure tamei. Now my time, why are you not being mechayv l'beis mikdash? Isn't it because the pasuk says that from a zachar to the cave you should send out, and we learn out zachar v'dayis the cave v'dayis dafka zachar v'dayis the cave v'dayis v'loy tumtum andragonus for the exclusion of tumtum andragonus mamish Rav's din. Isn't this b'risa clear right to Rav, says the Gemara? No, not so fast. Amru l'loy haman ablazi, the author is b'risa clear. Ablazer detan Ablazer aimer hasheretz memenu. It says in the pasuk that if a person touches the sheretz and then hasheretz v'nela memenu, sorry, it says a person touches the sheretz and then he became hidden from him and he went in the mikdash p'tumah. So we darshan al helm sheretzu chayev. Rav Blazer learns that only if he forgot that he was tummy is chayev. Ain't chayev al helm mikdash. If he forgets this is the base of mikdash, that's not a din. That's not subject to the carbon of imchayev for going the chatas for going into the mikdash b'tumah. It's specifically if he forgot he was tummy. That is Rabbi Eliezer's din. Seemingly, Rabbi Kiva says almost identical thing. Vinel memenu v'tummy. I'm Rabbi Kiva Imer. Vinel memenu v'tummy. Rabbi Kiva says it says the pasuk vinel memenu, it was hidden from him and he's tummy. Al helm tumu chayev. Vein chayev al helm mikdash. Again, only if he forgot that he's tummy, then you chayev the carbon. Right? By the way, what carbon he chayv for Bias Mikdash B'tumah? A carbon Ayla V'yayrid. He only chayv carbon Ayla V'yayrid if he was unaware of his tumah. But if he knew his tumah, he just forgot that this is the base of Mikdash, or that the base of Mikdash is the issue of coming B'tumah. Ain't chayv al hal Mikdash, not chayv al Mikdash. V'aminan, we said it seems to be the exact same sheet. My B'nai, what's between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva? Saying the same thing. V'amach Chizkiya explained, Sheretz and Avela K'benayu. The Nafka means like this. Let's say the person knows their tumah, just doesn't know which tumah it was. He knows for sure he touched either sheretz or a nevela. Didn't remember which one it was. He knows he's tamei, and then he went to the mikdash. Is that considered a helam memenu? Is he chayev or not? Has to be that he knew initially ibesheretz itmi vela itmi. He knew initially which tamei was. He knew he was tamei tamei sheretz, and then just forgot if it was nevela memenu. Or he knew he was tamei tamas Nevela, and there was Vanel Menu. He knew which Tumah was, it was Vanel Menu. Goes the Mikdash, he's Chayav a carbon. That is Rabbi Lezer Shita. Rabbi Kiva Sefer Leibin. Rabbi Kiva says that as long as he knows he was Tumah, even if he doesn't never knew exactly if the Tumah was Sheretz or Nevela, he knew he was Tumah, a Tumah, that doesn't allow him to go to the Mikdash. Once he knows he's Tumah, he can't go to the Mikdash, that's called Vanel Menu. It doesn't have to be he knew to extent which specific Tumah was, what the source was. That's the Machlaikis. Okay, so now Ula finishes off with his deflection of the proof of the Braisa. Lav, Amar Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer says over the end of the Machlekes, Binan Diyada, you need to know which Tumah it is. Even Sheretz Itmi, even Nevela Itmi. He tells you need to know if it's Tumah Sheretz, Tumah Nevela. So Hachanami, I'll tell you the Pshat of the Braisa by the Leivin and by the Edaim, where you have this Tumah Dragonus that had both white and red discharges. The reason why you put them from Tumas Mikdash, from going to Mikdash, but Tumah from a carbon, is not because the Pasuk, like Rav says, V'zachar Vadar Kev Vadai. Rather, Hachanami Bina Diyadi, you need to know, Iba Leibin Itma, Iba Eidim Itma. Like according to Rabbi Lezer, you need to know which Tumah it was. Avler Bekiva, but according to Bekiva Takas, Amr Mishum, Tumah Chayav, according to Bekiva says, as long as you know your Tumah, That's enough to be mechayev. So guess what? According to Bekiva, maybe you would be tamei over here. You would be chayev, and therefore the brayso is not a right to Rav. Rav was saying that according to everyone, you wouldn't be chayev here because it says zachar vaday nekev vaday, and we see it's a separate machlokes. Perhaps we can expand the brayso. That's a machlokes. Rabbi Ezer and Rabbi Kiva, the brayso goes to Rabbi Ezer, but perhaps nothing to do with Rav. Okay, so that's tomorrow a little further. The Rav Maishna. Maishna be as mikdash b'loi. The chassidim zachar nekev. The Rav wants to know why is this type of drasha applied over here and not to other places as well. Let's start this Gemara. Rabbi time, Maishna be as mikdash loy. Tichsim zachar and nekeva. Sends the pasuk zachar and nekeva to shaleichu. So that tells you zachar vada nekeva vaday vadoyes. For like tumdav doyinus. But guess what? The yachin trumanami lenisrof. When they touch truma, you told me that truma you burn, but the carbon if we go in the mikdash truma that you don't bring because it says zachar nekeva. But guess what? It says tichsim vazavas zavei lazachar nekeva. It says zavas zavei lazachar nekeva. Say the same thing by truma. Zachar vada nekeva does like tumdav doyinus. Say the same thing by truma that you shouldn't have to burn it by truma because you have the word zachar nekeva there as well. Gemara says the word zachar nekeva by truma is used for something else. Who may lechem yitzchak? Either for a yitzchak, damar yitzchak. La zachar the rabbis is samitzayrin lemaynesav. For the nekeva the rabbis is samitzayras lemaynesav. The word la zachar comes to include the mitzayra that lemaynesav literally means that which comes out of his body, that which he ejects from his body, the liquids that come out of his body. They're tummy like the zav himself, and the keva teaches me that whatever comes out of the mitzayras's body are tummy like the mitzayras herself. So therefore, since that drush of zachar and a keva is needed by tumma for something else, therefore, it's not actually teaching me that it has to be dafka, a male vaden and a female vaden, to exclusion of a tumtum drunkenness, because it's not extra. Hi, Nami Bailey, set them for 1 second. We need this for the following. Mishiyesh le'tar b'mikvah, pratlikicheris. Gemara says that by bias mikdash kedashav, you're telling me by tumas mikdash has the word zachar nekev extra, which came to exclude tumtum drunkenness from the din of carbon by bias mikdash. It's not true. You need it for the din of something which is gets tar b'mikvah, to the exclusion, zachar nekev get tar. We learn out, they get, just like they get purified by going to a mikveh, so too something which gets tar b'mikvah, to the exclusion of kicheres, meaning a kicheres has tummy, does not have to be removed from the azara, because it's excluded from this exact drasha, from zachar nekeva, to Rabbi Yasi. So zachar nekeva is already used, so it's not extra for Rav's drasha either. Im Kain says Gemara, if it was only teaching Rabbi Yasi's din, nechta rechmana adam. We wouldn't have to say zachar nekeva, it should come and teach me, only something like adam has a din of bias mikdash betumah, as opposed to cheres, which doesn't get purified in a mikveh, like cheres, by the way, has to get purified only by breaking it. Cheres doesn't get purified in a mikveh like adam, and therefore it's excluded. Don't say zachar nekeva, just say the word adam, that would have been sufficient. So adam zachar nekeva is extra. Adam. Having klimatkas lai, if you say adam, I think klimatkas is also excluded. Gemara says, "Mikol tami lenefesh nafka zachar nekeva lemeli." Klimatkas is already learned. Mikol tami lenefesh includes klimatkas. So you're back to zachar nekeva being extra, and therefore must be lichad rav teaching you like Rav's memra. Gemara still, but maybe it's all for Rav, and you no longer learn these other dinim, side the din of cheres, and side the other dinim that we discussed. Imkain nichtayv. Nichtav, no, it can't exclude cheres. It can only teach you the din to be vaday zachar v'nekeva like Rav. Im kein nichtav zachar unikeva, my mi zachar ad nekeva ad kol davar sheish atar mikvah. The lashon of mi zachar ad nekeva teaches me it's got to be something which has tar mikvah. So zachar nekeva teaches me Rav's din. The lashon of mi zachar ad nekeva teaches me has to be something which has tar in a mikvah as opposed to cheres, which does not have tara in the mikvah. The Gemara continues with Yachi's more questions. It really goes on to the next Amud. Let's go to the Shudat, the top of the next Amud. Yachi takes two more minutes, literally. Yachi, kitzmai v'bas p'shar tumas, lel shachu. 1 second. If you're telling me that the tumah going to the base of Mikdash has to be dafka, a zachar, or an akeva, but not tumtum dragoness, so when they become tumah to whatever tumah, we're saying that they become tumah is red of dam, or ziva. It's not a problem. Any tumah should not be a problem. Even if they get tumah sheretz, they shouldn't have a problem going to mikdash because they're excluded. Amakram mizachar mitumah precious mizachar. From the word mizachar teaches me that tumtum dragoness is only excluded from tumas that go from the guf, mizachar, from tumas that leave the body from the Aver Zacharis, but if it, let's say he touches a sheretz avada, he won't be able to go to mikdash. Falechet the mizachar and nekeva lemutet tumtum adragonus. And Amar asks, is it true that wherever it says mizachar and nekeva, it's coming to exclude tumtum adragonus? Vagabe erchin the chsiv hazachar. By erchin it says in the pasuk hazachar. V'tanya we learned little chazara from a few sechtes ago. V'tanya we learned hazachar v'letumtum adragonus. We learned hazachar v'letumtum adragonus. That means that they cannot be an erich. You don't do an erich of them. Yachle be'erich ish, avi be'erich isha. Maybe you don't have the erich of a man, but you give the erich of an isha. Tam lema zachar, vi'im nekeva, zachar vada nekeva vadayas, v'itim adraginis. So now the Mar, you see the drasha is, the Mar spells out for us. Taim etchsev, hazachar v'im nekeva. Your drasha was from the hey of hazachar and the v'im of nekeva. But simply the word zachar and nekeva alone were not exclutum adraginis. So how did Rav have the ability to exclutum adraginis over here just from the simple word of zachar and nekeva? Haim zachar and nekeva lemayit. From the word zachar and nekeva alone, it wouldn't be a me. It only from the Hazacher and the Imnekeva. Says the Gemara, you're right. Over there, you know why it wasn't extra for a meat unless you have Hazacher and Imnekeva? Because you need that top of Chavtas and Aleph, Lechalik bin Erech Ish, Leerech Isha. Over in the Psukim Erechim, we do have a distinct price for an Erech of an Ish and Erech of Isha. So because the Pasuk needs to make a distinction between Ish and Isha, you already have the word Zacher and Nekeva. That's already going to tell me that those two words have to be separated because it's a separate price for a zachar for a nekeva. So without the extra hazachar or v'im nekeva, I couldn't darshan to exclude an androgynous or a tumtum. But by us, we wouldn't have that. By tumas mbiyas mikdash, over there, the word zachar nekeva alone is enough to make the diak to exclude tumtum androgynous. And from the mizachar and nekeva, we also get the darshan to exclude the din of a kicheris from having a din of leaving the mikdash when it's tummy.